Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Ruckert. For those of you watching, you can see it looks a little different because we are live in Chicago for the NBA Combine. And we just, well, I guess not just, a little bit ago, we got done with day one of the G League Elite Camp, kicking things off for this week. And a little disclaimer here, we had previously recorded an incredible episode for a little over an hour with Maxwell Baumbach. Well, and technical difficulties are going to guarantee that that episode never sees the light of day. So we are back here for round two. Maxwell had to depart, unfortunately, but you can find his thoughts along with ours over on NoCeilingsNBA.com, where we shared our in-depth thoughts on biggest surprises, disappointments, who we want to see more from, deep cuts to keep an eye on. But Rucker and I are going to just kind of bounce around some of our favorite players from each team on day one with the scrimmages, where we also got testing. But Rucker, we're at the combine. How are we doing?
We're doing better now. I mean, but we were in rough shape for a while after we realized, I promise you guys, we pretty much go through every loophole possible to not have this happen at every single event we go through. And then that's why we're probably just dreaming of getting a producer one day. So if you have producing skills, hit us up. But you know, we're going to do a lengthy episode, I think, tomorrow with Maxwell. So we'll do a full G League combine breakdown, but man, I mean, we're here. This is unbelievable. I'm still trying to, like, we thought we were going to be like denied at the door just because we were like, well, I'm getting my hopes up. They're going to get, and everything went so far smooth. Yeah. Like Metcalf's credential. We had to make some calls, or the NBA did for us.
Breaking the law.
We're like, this one's not active, but it wasn't only you. It was a couple people too.
Everyone knows. One of the bad boys of the trash.
They saw the No Ceilings logo. They were like, no, hold on. No, but hey, it's been unbelievable. We got to basically like watch it all today and kind of up close as possible. And this is what we've been dreaming of. And it was so cool to just be like kind of taking it all in and be like, all right, we get a whole week of good basketball. And you could feel the buzz in the air. And lottery tomorrow. I can't wait. This is what dreams are made of. And I'm happy to have to re-record a pod. Like, this is anytime. This is a dream. So
there are bigger problems that we could be having.
Exactly.
Today we also got a lot of the athletic testing done. So, you know, some really incredible performers, some less than. But how do you use the athletic testing numbers in your evaluation? Because people love to get obsessed with just a raw number, because it's a data point. It is a statistic. It is something tangible, hard-coded, that we can just look at and immediately quantify a skill or a deficiency in a player. So when you see some of these numbers or testing, or just see the guys moving in these really isolated, specific situations and drills, what do you take away from that?
I think it's like the validation of what you've been watching on film all year. You're trying to like kind of firm of like, hey, is that matching what I'm seeing? And like today, we kind of like had a immediate, you know, there's a couple of names going into this that I feel like we were like, hey, these guys are expecting to probably be players that really knock it out of the park. And right away it was like, whoa, like for example, Jaren Pierre, SMU, like was one of those guys where all of a sudden we were right in front of them vert testing and some of those drills today, and right away I was like, wow, the numbers were way lower than I thought. And we're gonna get to obviously that too, but then he played in the combine like scrimmages, and I thought, like, there's a player we've watched all year. So I think it's one of those where it could kind of play mind games with you a little bit, but then also there's validation and confirming, you know, like Seth Trimble was one of the biggest athletic testers today. We kind of felt like he was gonna blow it out of the water coming in. So I don't know, Metcalf. I feel like sometimes it's good to confirm what you've watching, but it also sometimes makes you go back if you get different data points and you're like, well, does he play, you know, more athletic than maybe those testing drills? Because, you know, when we recorded the Maxwell episode, which is so funny, we're just going to keep referencing that, the lost files, but we
it
were
was
all
horrible, folks. Yeah. He didn't say a single interruption.
Yeah. I promise.
We're doing you a favor.
I promise that's a lot.
Technical issues.
But like, we were also talking about, you know, kind of like, hey, there's guys that play that you know, max vert test is not like a full, like a lot of people think like, oh, it's a full running start. No, you usually get like 1-2, got to jump.
Yeah.
Some guys take a little bit more like, hey, in transition, they have that full firepower to load up. So I don't overreact to it too much, but sometimes you're like, wow, like they've got that juice. What about you?
Yeah, and it's validation. It's like, how is this actually functional? Because doing it in isolation is great. Like being able to jump 40 inches in the air off of the standstill is fantastic. How often are you actually doing that? How does that explosiveness ever actually show up in your rebounding, in your defense, in your rim pressure, and any of that kind of stuff? With Seth Trimble, we see it all the time. With other guys like Jaren Pierre, it's like, oh man, that was underwhelming. But I, watching him, it never felt like he was a bad athlete. Where it's like, and so it's a, finding that thin line between what's functional, what's real, what's just being produced in a lab in a sterile setting. Like Timon Lipsey, like his lateral stuff was insane. Like he is by far the quickest, most agile guy out there today. But then when you watch him defend, it's the exact same stuff.
Right. And
Seth Trimble, similar thing, where it's like, oh my god, this guy moves laterally like no one's business. So it's really similar to like wingspan. Seeing a guy with a +7 wingspan rocks. But if you're immediately being like, oh man, he's going to be a good defender, it's like, well, was he in college?
Right.
All year, did you see good defensive film from him? Did you see good defensive playmaking numbers from him? And if not, I don't really care about the +7 wingspan. Does it give him a little more room for error? Sure. But if I see a guy with like okay defensive film plus the +7 wingspan, now it's like, oh, there might be a little more room for improvement here that with a little more refinement can really unlock some stuff. It's the same thing with the athletic testing, like the lateral stuff, where it's like, oh man, he's really quick side to side. Hone in on those fundamentals a little bit. Your defense could take aim massively. So it's all just data points and a tool to be used in the bigger evaluation.
Completely agree.
All right, so let's jump into the stuff that actually matters, the games.
Yeah.
And we, you know, each team had one scrimmage today, so a lot of this is a little reactionary, and it's, you know, you want to take it with a grain of salt because most of these guys have never played together. It's a new setting. It's a new context. Some of these guys just went through Pitt, you know, a couple weeks or a week or two ago. So it's a long, tiring process. So take it with a grain of salt, but it is still important. Let's kind of just go team by team. So when we look at team one, who was the biggest standout for you?
Gosh, you're going to make me... Okay, hold on. You threw me for a curveball. I thought we were just saying it in general. Well, so
in general, because you didn't listen to my...
No, it's fine.
We haven't done this already.
I got it. I made the same mistake earlier, too. I was going to be right anyways. I'm going to go... The guy that stood out to me the most today wasn't a box score, like, standout. It was Aiden Tobiasen.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He was at Temple. He's transferring to Syracuse. Yeah. It's probably one of the biggest, like, early on got my attention because he looked so raw with his development of his frame.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like, okay, he still looked skinny. It looked undefined, underdeveloped, but, like, I was like, well, he's got length.
Yeah.
And then you watched him defensively, and I was like, man, there's some real talent here. I think we're starting to get some measurement leaks or reports right now. I think he had like a +9 wingspan, which is ridiculous. Now, anytime we're getting measurements, I'm a little bit like, hey, are we getting those juiced a little bit? Right. Like we get, but it matched what we saw today. Cause I was like, he is lengthy as heck. He was good in all the athletic testing. Like he was one of the top performers. I think he was like top 5 for most of the stuff or top 10. But you know, he was impactful today. His defensive was like smothering.
Yeah.
It was just a guy that I was like, I thought he's handling the process well right now. Of like he stood out today. He's probably going to buzz a little bit. Might go back to college, be on the radar, and then if he could really develop his frame and his development and like the tools, we could be cooking for next year or, you know, maybe even the year after that. Like, it just looked like a potential weapon that's, you know, a couple steps away, you know, where things get really, really interesting.
And despite some of, like, that lack in physical development, he was still, like, towards the top.
Yeah.
Every single athletic testing.
Yeah.
Drill. And I think he was the first guy out there. So, obviously, his name goes right to the top. And, you know, first vertical numbers, it's like, oh, that's pretty good. I think he was at, like, 36 or
something. He was up there,
like,
yeah,
no step, and then like 38 max, or you know,
offer to. Yeah, I get you, but he was there. He was like, good. These are good. These are good numbers.
Right off the top, like, oh, that's solid. But then he just kept staying there.
Yeah.
And there's all of it. Like, okay, this is fun. And then you see the wingspan. You're like, oh my God. Then you see him knock down shots during like their practice and their drills. It's like, okay, this is getting interesting. Then they got into the scrimmages and the defense with him and the just effort level and intensity. He had a couple boneheaded mistakes, like stepping out of bounds. You know, he only had, I think it's 2 for 5 in the box score.
Yeah.
So if you're just looking at the box score, you're like, this guy didn't do anything. He was 2 for 5 with like 7 points. Like, what did he do?
Right, right, right.
But the impact, the style of play, the motor, constantly just making himself felt on the court is obvious. And he was so, so much fun. Is he ready for this year? Probably
not.
I'm really excited to see what he does in day two. Because of the, like, all right, how much of a fluke is this? But if he has a big day, I mean, he might make some noise and potentially get a little attention to get called up, given the tools. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be like for sure in this draft. I think he'd be really smart to go back, especially to Syracuse, really take advantage of a full summer in their strength and conditioning program. But I think he's got off to a really fantastic start of making him a name for himself and really forcing scouts and execs and media to take notice of him and remember his name.
Yeah, I mean, it's without shoes, he was 6'3" and like, I think 3/4. And I think he had like a 7 foot and change wingspan. And I think he was around like 195-ish when it came to his weight. But like, you hear that and you're like, wow, that's thin. And watching him defensively, he's physical.
He's tough.
That's why I'm like, if you add some weight to his frame, just some muscle, some beef to throw around, he's going to be a problem. And like, so it was more of the just today kind of looking at it like, man, this one could turn into something real fun with some time. And I'm with you, like, you're on the radar now. Now you're buzzing and it'll be really interesting to kind of see. So I just wanted to spot, like, that was the standout for me. That was just beyond the box score. Like, seeing it in person, I was like, wow, this is going to be fun. If this, you're on my list now, like, to keep an eye on closely. What about you?
All right. With team one, we're just going with their bench. Look at this. I'm going Jacob Coffey. I thought
Coffey looked good. Yep.
Sophomore from USC, spent his freshman year at Virginia. For some reason, I keep thinking he's so much older.
I do too. Funny, let's do the Lost Files reference. Maxwell, like, literally was like, yeah, he's one of the younger bigs on the class, or
the youngest guy at the elite camp.
And I was like, that can't be right. He's a junior, right? Yeah. And so I did the same dance as you. Like, I was like, wow, okay, fine. But yeah, he was great. Go ahead.
But like, I, at the start of his Virginia year, got off to a really great start. So I'm going to be like, oh, this could be the sneaky one and done guy from Virginia this year. Because look at the tools, look at the defense. Like, if this really molds into something, this could be awesome. And then he kind of faded. It's like, all right, we'll see you next year. And then decides to transfer to USC. And I thought throughout a lot of this year, I know he has some of his numbers are impressive, especially like some of his advanced numbers. He's had some good games, but a lot of the time when I watch USC, he just kind of disappeared. And I'm like, oh, I forgot you were out there. And that's always a huge red flag for me with anyone, regardless of how good the numbers are. Especially if it's like limited sample or limited role, whatever. But today, I couldn't take my eyes off. I thought the way that he was impacting the game with or without the ball on defense was so impressive. He was doing all the little things while also creating shots for himself, playing good defense, grabbing rebounds. And he is huge in person, like strong. I mean, he's not the tallest guy out there. He's got good height, but like broad shoulders, big legs, really physical, really tough, and constantly communicating. And he's one of these guys where it's like, oh, man, seeing you in person totally shifts the narrative and really helps me understand a lot of the nuance in your game that doesn't immediately pop on film.
Unlike unofficial 6'8.5" without shoes, 7 foot wingspan around like 232. He had like a 35-ish, I think, a 36-inch max vert. He was solid today. Like, I kind of said to you guys earlier, I was like, it's something when you're at the combine and you can just kind of be solid across the board when it comes to athletic testing, the scrimmages, and everything. But like, there was a moment today where I was like, man, Coffey, I think, has been the best big out here. And you kind of been like, well, is that the a testament to the bigs that are all here, or was that he was that good? But I, at times, I just felt like I always felt him on the court on both sides of the ball. So I thought he was really good today. That's, you know, we talked about this earlier, like, hey, the data points. And I think also seeing these guys in person makes you revisit, like, hey, I need to go back and watch more, because like Coffee looks so good today. I was like, okay, like I was intrigued with him at Virginia. This year, I feel like I never really got into it, but I also am like, okay, maybe I need to go watch again and kind of see if there was something I was missing. Cause you know this better than anyone, and our whole No Ceilings team does, and scouts and evaluators know this, but like not everyone at this week's going to stay in the draft. Yeah. So like all of a sudden you lose a little bit of like the fat from this class, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, who's going to replace that? And that's where guys like Jacob Coffee, all of a sudden, if they're, you know, staying in, they get intriguing, like the late second round is like maybe a two-way guy.
Yes, I mean, he is just a sophomore. Do you think he's a guy that's going to like sneakily stay in this draft?
I don't, that's what we were kind of talking about that today, where I was like, you know, obviously, like full disclosure, we're here to watch and scout, and then like I think as the week goes on, then you start being like, okay, now's the intel talk. It's now talking to teams and seeing like, hey, like if a guy like Coffee all of a sudden gets invited to the actual combine, then you start to be like, what's the deal with Coffee? You think he's gonna go back? He seems like a sneaky one that maybe isn't gonna like go back.
That's not where I'm at. Where it's like,
it would have been louder if he wasn't gonna, if he was gonna go back and like be in the portal or go to USC, I feel like it would have been a little louder.
He seems like someone who would have like definitive ties already.
Yeah, I could be an idiot. We could be idiots right now, and there's like a clear, like, but I just haven't seen it. So if we're wrong, that's fine. But yeah, I promise. I'm trying to figure out the dang lottery right now. Like I'm the, that's what we were kind of buzzing about. Like, wow, it feels like it would be louder if he was going back. But I also think there's just like teams are going to be like, oh, you're going to maybe come back. Like, we'll talk now. So maybe teams are trying to be like patient about it with college route.
Fine. Like if he reproduces what he did today, tomorrow on Sunday, in their second scrimmage, I could see teams being like, oh, we need to try and get him to shut it down and be like, hey, we won't spend a first rounder on you, but one of those first 10 picks in the second round, whether we're there or we're trading up, we're going to come get you, and we're going to sign you to like an actual deal. Because a lot of those priority second round picks, they don't have guaranteed deals, but those first 10 to 15 picks tend to immediately convert into actual NBA contracts. And if he's just in the mindset of, I'm done with college, like these last 2 years have been a little shaky from what I was expecting, what I want to get out of my basketball career, let me just go to the pros, and this team is in love with me, I love how I can fit and make an impact there, screw it, like I don't need every single penny, let's just go get this going, get this started, get it going, and be 1 year closer to signing my second contract.
Yeah, I also think there's just a point of like, you know, and we've kind of heard the same message thrown to us by a lot of teams, and it's not just about Coffee, but this is like kind of prospect evaluation, and it's like, well, what's he going to get better at with going back? Like, is he all of a sudden going to be this lethal floor spacer? I think he might be, but it's also like, could he just figure that out in the, right, you know, with a team and then in the G and start getting going? Like,
and like, is that, would that actually be applicable to his role in the
NBA? Right.
Cool, you're grading off the bounce now, but we're never going to ask you to do that. So
yeah, and I think there's also, like, I've kind of talked about it before with you on the Ceilings pod, like I think that sophomore to junior, like, year leap, really hard to just all of a sudden be like, now you're going to be a top. It's just hard. Like, we don't see the Dalton Connect stories too often. We don't see the, even, like, junior to senior year, like, with the Axe right now, is, like, we're still waiting to see if it's really going to happen, but it seems like he might be a sneak. You're right. Like, he might be a sneaky, just like, oh, he's in.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that we end up talking about seriously in the second round. He's in the running to be one of the top bigs. We're going to probably see a big or two, I would guess, added to the big combine, and maybe it could be Coffee. I don't know.
All right. Let's move over to Team 2, who came up short in this game. And they were down big early in most of the game, ended up having a furious comeback, just lost by a couple at the end there. And also, just want to point out real quick, on this team was supposed to be Malik Lewis, but as Jonathan Givony reported earlier today, unfortunately is not getting medically cleared to participate because of a pre-existing heart injury or heart issue. Really heartbreaking stuff, because this was a guy who we all really hoped was going to make some noise this weekend. He's a really intriguing 3-and-D wing playing over in the NBL for the last couple seasons. Hopefully that this is just a step towards him figuring out what's going on, getting really healthy, and continuing to pursue his dream. But such a bummer that he didn't get to play, or isn't going to get to participate in this week. But when you look at Team 2, who stood out?
I'm going to go with Metcalf's favorite. it's probably one that I'm honestly, like, we've had an inside joke today, kind of like, hey, Metcalf doesn't, we always, each of us have a guy we always are like, we can't stand, or they're not our cup of tea. It's not your cup of tea. So like, whenever we're at something and the guy starts playing good, we kind of make it as a running joke, an inside joke, just to keep vibes high. Trey Kaufman-Wren, I think, just had a really solid day after kind of like a slow start. I feel like he ended up with, you know, 17 and 12 off of 7 of 8.
I think the bulk of that came in the second.
Most of that came in the second. But it just seemed like as the game went on, the scrimmages specifically, he got a lot more comfortable and like better. Now you can make the argument like, hey, they were down big and they were trying to make a little bit of a run. But it also seemed like he sort of figured out like, hey, this could be my impact role, where it was like the rebounding, some floor spacing, like catch and shoot opportunities. He's still a guy that I'm really patient about. Like, I don't know if I'm going to buy in too aggressively with that, because I just feel like if he was an elite defender, yeah, like I really could be like, oh, I get in on board, even, you know, if he's a little bit smaller. But there's a long way to go. But I feel like today he was on like, oh, he might be on two-way watch. Like, this could be a really interesting two-way guy to be like, figure it out in the G to get respectable from defense, and then we'll move from there. That's the Trey Kaufman-Wren. Like, that's the hype train. Literally, there's the Trey Kaufman-Wren just hit another three that goes around the block every time. I don't know, Metcalf. I mean, Team 2 was a little tough because there were some guys that I just feel like didn't live up to what I wanted today. But I think Wren at least was like, hey, we're getting interesting. I think he's going to need to do that again, but like way more consistent the whole day, yeah, to get called up. But we'll see. You understand why teams were probably intrigued and why he was a guy that was buzzing before. I still think we got some work to do, but I thought he was good today.
Yeah, I will do our best to stay positive on this episode.
Yeah.
If you're looking for negativity, head over to NoCeilingsNBA.com and subscribe, to where you can find a little bit more negativity or skepticism or disappointment. I'll let you be the judge. But...
As I say that, actually, it just changed my mind.
No, so Kaufman-Durant had an awesome second half. And the fact that he has, like, a go-to, really strong skill with rebounding on both ends of the floor is enough in a lot of situations to get him on a roster, whether it's Exhibit 10 or two-way, or maybe, you know, he convinces someone to give him, like, a low-level, legit NBA standard contract. That alone is typically enough, but there's also some really encouraging promise with the scoring touch on the floater. And if you're optimistic about his shooting translation, even though, you know, we never really saw him shoot at Purdue, but that's pretty consistent with what we tend to see from bigs at Purdue with Matt Painter. They never really stretched the floor. He knocked down a couple threes today and they didn't look bad. It wasn't like, oh my god, how did that go in? It's like, oh, you made a nice spot up corner three. So if you're optimistic, it's like, man, he's got awesome scoring touch on that floater. With time, with reps, with proper coaching, that can really get stretched out to the perimeter. And if that becomes the case, now I think you could potentially see him in a Jalen Williams-esque, like watered-down Jalen Williams type of role.
Arkansas Jalen Williams?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, no, not J-Dub.
Who you love, so you're really going on a limb right here.
No, but like, he's turned into a really, really good player. Yeah. I think Jay Will's passing and feel on offense were a lot higher than Kauffman Wren's at this standpoint. But, like, and I'm not equating these guys as one-for-one players, but it wouldn't shock me if he has a similar career arc or career path as Luka Garza, where it's, like, kind of perpetually on two ways and then kind of slowly carves out a role at the end of a rotation as the third big, who can be used in emergency situations or, you know, just kind of keeps hanging around. I thought the defense was rough. I don't know what he does on that end of the floor. Aside from rebounds, awesome rebounder, but the awareness, the rim protection, the feel always leaves me wanting more.
We even saw in drills, like walkthroughs, defense of like coaches were even getting like, hey, like, what are you doing? You got to only do this, you know, which is, hey, when it's shell walkthroughs and coaches are like having to tell you, it's like, come on, walk in a little bit. You've probably done this a million times. So that's also like the benefit of seeing this stuff in person is like the little details really pop. And we're going to talk about, you know, guys in the other game. There's a lot of guys we really like, but that's why like the little details really pop. So before we go too down the rabbit hole, who else did you like?
Yeah.
Let's get positive.
No Miakov.
Yeah.
Point guard.
Fun.
Oh. Oh my God.
Undersized, but a speeding bullet with super pace. Quick. With pace,
like insanely quick, but always under control.
Yep.
And he was just effortlessly getting into the paint, getting into the middle of the floor, making things happen. Maxwell said it best earlier. Sorry, folks, he missed a doozy.
Yeah.
But he's like, he pointed out, it's like, man, it's so rare in these types of settings to see everyone else just hand the reins over to someone else and be like, oh no, we're better when you're running the offense. Here you go. And that's exactly what they did. And he was so, so impressive. And just that lightning quick ability to get to the middle of the floor and just constantly make the right play. The way that he was manipulating defenders and setting up teammates on kickouts, but even more impressively, the interior passing, setting up bigs and putting the ball in the only spot that it could be for them to catch it cleanly and finish. It was like, oh my God, this is a guy who's been playing pro. Like against grown men
for
a couple of years. So I think he's 21. So he is a little older, but the physical tools, the testing was great too. The shot was a little erratic today, looked a little better off the catch than the bounce, but I was blown away. I hadn't done much work on him yet. And watching him today, I was like, oh, I need to do so much more.
He was fantastic. I thought, you know, quickly on, you know, and we talked about it with Maxwell, the Lost Files, but as you said, like, you'd never see in these settings where like the guards are all, you know, or like the whole team is kind of like levitating to one player to run the show, because it's not like an ego check, but it's more of just like everyone wants to perform and showcase their stuff, because it's like, hey, you want to get called up to the NBA combine and have the best chance if you don't get drafted,
right?
But it was quickly evident, like, everyone trusted him right out of the gate. And it was not like, you know, just anyone. It was like a lot of like trust, like big time names, where it was like, you know, Seth Trimble and everyone like going to him and being like, hey, let's do this. And he's like, yeah. Like, kind of was like quarterbacking everyone out there really fast. And I was like, you watch the flow of the game and how he played, and you understood why everyone just kind of like, okay, he understands it. But he was, he's a bit undersized, but it was the playmaking, the feel, the off ball awareness, like, how quickly, you know, he didn't give up on the first take if you walled him off, and then he could just hit you with an in and out to go back to where he wanted to, and kind of just, he was walking paint touch at sometimes. Yeah. And then had a beautiful, like, you know, off ball dive down the middle where he got a dump off from a big for a layup. That play was like, oh man, he is on fire. And he was rolling. Then like he got to the free throw line a couple times, then had that, and you're like, oh man, he's all over the place. I think he took a couple jumpers that were just a little like ugly, and then like hit some one, I think was like into shot clock, and then one was like, oh man, that was a bad one.
And I think he had like one or two that like may have gotten tipped.
Yeah.
A little
tough,
but it's like in warmups and practice, I thought it looked solid.
Yeah.
But then like some of his pull ups, it's like you were like 3 feet off my guy. Like, what happened there?
Yeah. Right. So I mean, he was like probably one of my favorite guys today, just in terms of like, oh man, he can play. I don't know if it's going to create enough steam for this year.
Right.
I think maybe he could be, I think it's collegiately with maybe BYU. I'm sorry if I'm incorrect. Is he going to BYU? We didn't confirm that, but someone said that. Yeah.
I think there might be some buzz there, but yeah.
If it's wrong, Nathan Grubel at Draft Deeper told us, so you guys can yell at him, but he'd be a fun one there. He'd be really fun with Bruce Branch.
He's
going to
be a monster in college if he goes there. Just the way he runs the offense. Defense needs some work, but I thought the effort and stuff was pretty good. Screen navigation needs a lot of work, and he's a little undersized, so he's going to get targeted. But incredibly, incredibly impressive day from him.
Absolutely.
All right, team three. Who you got? You're taking too long. I'm going Bryce Hopkins.
I'm sorry. I just confirmed he's going to Utah, I think, instead of BYU. So, I'll actually just fight Nathan.
All right, well, we're going to stop it here. All right, team three. I'm going to go out of order here.
No, you're good. You're good. Give me team three. Go.
Bryce Hopkins.
Yes.
Have yourself a day.
Didn't mean to cut you off, but was one of my most shocking physical transformations. And I feel like we've had this talk every single year with Hopkins, but this one was like, oh my gosh, is he all in on trying to be like a three at the NBA level? Like, and it was that serious of like a physical transformation. So, man, he had a great day. He looked in great shape. And I was like, man, if he could be healthy, if the medicals were checked, and he's buying in and keeps really the conditioning locked in, like absolutely could be a guy that is really good value. That's maybe kind of that tweener where you get in the rotation where you're like, hey, we can kind of lean on him to play a little bit of like as a jackal on the offensive side, or he could be like, hey, a stretch four, or you know, a bucket getting, I don't know. He just, that was like, oh man, Hopkins looks in fantastic shape. I was shocked when he was walking around to do the athletic testing. I was like, that's Bryce Hopkins. Like, he looked so much skinnier and like better to me.
And it didn't take away from his power and his physicality and his force on the interior. And he was so good finishing around the rim like he always has been. He was so good knocking down mid-range shots and creating post moves and showing off lightning quick footwork and spin moves, knocked down a one or two spot up threes, and still played really good defense and still rebounded really well. It's just like, oh my god. So the fact that we're seeing you scale down, or at least lean up a little bit to improve your fluidity and your agility on the perimeter without having it really affect, at least so far, really affect your physicality and presence on the interior is huge. And that's so much easier said than done, but it's a real testament to his mentality and just the way that he views and impacts the game. Because I'm like, talk about this with Cam Boozer, where it's like, oh man, I'd love to see him scale down to 235, 240, just really increase that foot speed to defend on the perimeter. But it's like, all right, well, what does that do to his elite skill of rebounding and physical presence on the interior? And it's a big hypothetical until it happens. But with Hopkins, we're seeing it. And he looked a lot more like Providence, Bryce Hopkins. You mentioned the pedicles. Is that something we're at, like, actually concerned about? Because I know he had the knee injury. Like,
did he have two knee injuries, or am I just thinking of like, I feel like he had a year at Providence where he was just banged up.
I don't think so. I think it's just the one, but it happened like late in the year,
so he came back slow late second year, and we just kind of
had like the big brace on.
You're right.
Like, I mean, he was healthy all year at St. John's.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was listed. And I always take team websites with a grain of salt, but he was listed around 225. Today, he measured in at 218. He looked, I feel like at St. John's, he looked like he was more like 230-ish. So, like, he just looked in great shape. He was 6'6 barefoot today, 6'10 and a half wingspan, good difference, 37 inch and a half inch max vert. These are good numbers, but I think you just saw like a guy that was probably like, hey, I need to slim up and get toned up, and I'm probably going to have to be a three at the next level. So like, I need to be all in on realizing that, like, if I want to keep playing at the NBA level, I can't be a 6'7 power forward. I'm going to probably have to be a 6'7, you know, power small forward, or you know what I'm saying? So, He was one guy, I was like, he hasn't been hurt a ton, right? I knew he had the one,
like, big,
big.
Yeah, and he's looking like potential like Big East player.
Yeah, right. So that's where, you know, we get to the point where we kind of talked about this before or at the combine, where I was like, there's going to be guys in this draft class. Like, everyone we see this week is not going to be staying in. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's going to get gutted. Guys like Bryce Hopkins, Jacob Coffey, like, we said this earlier. I know I'm repeating myself, but, like, those guys get really interesting real quick because it's like, well, those could be some good value pieces you find late in this draft. And I just thought he looked fantastic today. It was one of those where, like, hey, if he had another day, I don't know if he'll get the official invite or if that's a sneaky team. Like, nah, we don't want to vote for Bryce. Like, we might draft him. Don't vote for him. So it was like, wow, what a great preparation for. I was also say, like, we always think these players are like, hey, they're going to bulk up for the combine. And it's like, I think also these other guys could be like, hey, let's tone down a little bit to help your athleticism and test
it
well.
Just improve that versatility and malleability.
Right.
If you're going to be one of these role players, it's like, you got to kind of fill in wherever you're asked and needed.
Yep.
And just being a little slimmer, being a little lighter, a lot of the times can really help that. All right, so who you got for team three?
Every time I have the wrong thing open.
That's super helpful. I appreciate it.
No, well, I have readiness. Two different documents when it comes to... Here we go. Okay.
You should team have the three. Right one.
Gosh. I'm going to go... Robert McCray just kind of caught my attention today. He had some cuckoo numbers. Seth Trimble was the number one guy for, like, the vert testing, but Robert McCray was, like, two. He was right up there. He played pretty solid in the game. I thought there was, like... There was a good balance of him just making an impact. I mean, he had 10 and 3 assists, 2 steals. He didn't shoot it great, but I thought he just played with a good flow. It wasn't like a guy that stood out as like a dominant player in that scrimmage, but I just thought with the athletic testing, I felt like he was solid. He was really good athletically, like the testing, and then he was solid in the game. Made enough flashes where I'm like, hey, you got my attention, and I want to see what he can do with one more day. But from team three, I thought he was probably one of the better guys after Hopkins that kind of stood out.
Yeah, and it was really good to see him just kind of fit in. I know you want guys to really stand out in a big way at an event like this. But going back to his last couple of years, he has been like the end-all, be-all, heliocentric model of like his team's offense. And it's led to some really erratic ball security and decision-making and just astronomical turnover numbers that are not sustainable, but we saw him really scale his game down today and play on ball, off ball, make simple, right decisions. And the fact that the athletic testing numbers were as good as they were, I think is really, really encouraging, because that's the kind of stuff where you see it pop on tape, and now that you have like a number to tie to it, it's like, oh, this makes a lot more sense. Because when you're watching them at Florida State, it's like, man, you get to the rim a lot. Like, you're in the middle of the floor, you're getting paint touches constantly. Like, that seems weird, but now it's like, oh, yeah, because he's a really good athlete. Shocker how that works. So it's like, all right, now that you're at least starting to show, at least hopefully this is a continuing trend of him taking care of the ball and playing within the flow of the offense a little more and not being the offense. It's like, all right, this is a little more interesting because there's a lot of really fun scoring versatility there. There's some incredibly fun playmaking stuff there as well. So it'd be awesome if he had another really strong day on Sunday.
Hibby, team four, go for it.
All right, team four. I know who you're going to go with, so I'll leave it for you. I'm going to go Michael Ajayi. I really, from Butler. He's always been a guy where, like, whenever I watch him, I'm like, oh, that was kind of fun. That was neat. But never like, oh, yeah, he could be a guy. And it's always just like, oh, you're a nice novelty. And then today, seeing him in person, seeing the physicality, the tenaciousness, the frame, it's like, oh, you could be like a rotation guy.
Yeah.
He was dominant on the boards. He only ended up with 5, but 2 on the offensive end, 3 on defense. He just ate up space. He was super physical. He was really difficult for other guys to deal with. And then the shot looked really solid. He knocked down, he was 2 for 3 from 3. Spot up jumper looked good. He created a couple in the mid range that looked really solid. one or two passing flashes just for, like, off of the offensive rebounds where it's like, oh, okay, nice read. Playing simple, playing within himself, playing his role to perfection. And it's like one of those guys who can physically hold up and eagerly do all of the dirty work that you want to see from your eighth, ninth man in a rotation. Because that stuff's hard. And the fact that he can sprinkle in a little bit of skill, a little bit of shooting versatility, a little bit of play finishing versatility on top of that, I think is really, really intriguing.
I'm going to go with, I'm gonna cheat and do two because both of them need spotlight. I'm going to go Aaron Nkrumah.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't believe you left me, left me the gold medal and the silver medal. Yeah. Nkrumah was awesome, and
I'm sorry.
What is it?
He was incredible.
He was fantastic. He is, he's making himself a lot of money.
Yeah.
He's one more day, like this away from, like, if he's not. If he's not added to the big combine, it's going to be a little bit of like risk, like dirty business. I'm going to be like, someone's doing something. He looked fantastic. He's around, what, he's 6'6", 6'7"-ish. He had like 22 today, but it was like two steals. He just kind of filled it up and was efficient. And this is a guy that was a very intriguing weapon on the court. I thought he was one of the better players in both of the games. And then the other guy I got a spotlight, Rafael Castro. You spoiled my answer. I was just summarizing it up, and then we could bring it back. Okay.
Because, you know, he deserves – both of these guys deserve a lot of the attention.
Yes.
Unlike Ajayi, who I wasted my time
on.
I'm kidding.
But we were both kind of, like, warming up from the Lost Files of, like, Ajayi. We were talking about it, all of us, and we were like, hey, that might be a little sneaky guy. Because, like, I've been sleeping on him. He tested athletically way better than I was expecting today. I feel like the no step vert, max vert, you're like, wow, Jai's kind of up there in the top 10 with some of these guards and stuff. And then you see him, like, I remember we were sitting right underneath the basket, like kind of elevated, and he was lining up for a free throw. And it's like, his shoulders are just so broad. Like, he just looks like a problem. So I understand. Jai is like one of those where you're like, this big class is really funky, and you get to a point later in that second round where you're like, this is one that could make some sense as like a little bit of a value find. So I'm backing you up there, but go ahead about Nkrumah.
And it's one of the most simple, ideal, and I say simple not as an insult, but simple, ideal, malleable archetypes that every team kill for as a rotation guy. It's like just a good athlete, 3-and-D wing, who you can kind of plug and play from the start, and whatever you need him to do, he can kind of do it. And just the defensive playmaking and the defensive tools, and his steal rate in college was absurd.
He's a demon.
I think it's like 5+ or something. And that popped up today, and he was really good on defense. He had 2 steals as well. And then along with 20+ points, knocked down 3s off the catch. The shot is quick. It's fluid. It looks comfortable. But then when he gets run off his line, a lot of the guys of this profile, once you run them off their spot, it's like, oh, now you're dead in the water. Like, you got nothing. You can't make a passing read. You can't get to the rim. Your handle's shaky at best. That wasn't the case. He got to the rim. He attacked closeouts. It wasn't predetermined stuff either. He was finishing through contact, drawing fouls. It's like, oh, my goodness. Have yourself a day. And you mentioned it. He may have made himself a lot of money today.
6'5" without shoes, 6'10¼" wingspan. The big thing, I mean, +5 is great for him, but the big thing is he's around like 188, 189. He's got to beef up a little bit, but not too much. But like, he's such a weapon defensively. And if you're asking yourself, like, well, why is he not getting more buzz or attention? It's like, well, he's played at Tennessee State. So like, this is why these guys come to the G League. You know, elite camp or the combine is like, you prove yourself a little bit, make a little noise. He's probably lead dog in the clubhouse right now. He's the leader in the clubhouse, I would imagine, to be getting a nod.
Yeah.
And maybe he already did. And it's like, tomorrow is like, hey, just don't come out and go 2 for 20.
Right.
And you're going to be playing a little bit longer, staying a little bit longer in Chicago. So I thought he was great today. And it was pretty awesome of like, we were intrigued before, and then all of a sudden watching him in the scrimmages and everything, you're just like, oh, yeah, like, this is fantastic. And 6'6"-ish, you know, guard with those skills and that defensive awareness and instincts. It was just like very contagious early.
Yeah, and I'd say the big man version of what Nkrumah did today was Rafael Castro.
Yeah, yeah, Castro rocked. He is probably like one of my personal favorites today. I think was Castro. I was just like, oh, it, quickly, like, oh, yeah, I'm in. Like, George Washington, big man, older, and you know, it was funny. The Lost Files, Maxwell. Probably is like watched him more because he's a sicko and
he's had him in his 40s like yeah. all season.
And I immediately was just like, I'm in love with how much he's talking defensively.
Yeah,
he's so active, so loud, so vocal. And then Maxwell, I think even at the combine was kind of like, you know, that shocks me because it wasn't really, what did he say? He wasn't really put in the right position at George Washington.
Yeah,
to consistently like the way they showcase
the way they
Romer,
use him
he's like a rover.
They just kind of let him do whatever he wanted out there. Yeah. It's like, hey, you move really well. You're a really good defender. Kind of go wreak havoc. And it wasn't so much, hey, be our defensive cornerstone. It was go be a chaos engine out there. And he did. And, but then today, seeing him be in like that more consistent role while communicating and calling out rotations and defensive assignments and all that kind of stuff, communicating screens, being really loud and vocal to the point where we could pretty clearly hear him in the stands is really, really encouraging.
He was just very skilled. Like, I think he only had like a block or two in the box score, but it was it seemed like every time someone was trying to drive at him in the basket, it was like, why are you guys doing this? No one's making shots. Like, it just seemed like he altered so many shots. He made an impact. He was solid. He's skilled. But the only negative I have about him is like he's got the weirdest body.
A little funky.
It's like a upper body of a big man, and then his lower half is like a shooting guard. Like, he's got thin legs. There's not a lot of meat on it. And you look at his numbers. He was 6'9" without shoes, 7'1", 0.25 wingspan, pretty solid. But then he was 224. So he's like, okay, well, we got to get some meat on these legs. But He's just really talented out there. You could see how skilled, the good feel on both sides of the ball, and he's very you feel the presence like on both sides of the ball a lot. So I thought it was a great day for him. Like, I think he had a bigger first half probably. I think he might have had
didn't play a ton in the second half.
Yeah, well, they were rolling. Yeah. They almost put up 100 in a G League scrimmage, which is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my gosh, we're gonna get 100 piece. I was like, hey, we're getting free chicken nuggets for the whole. But I mean, they finished with 97, but I feel like they gave a lot more run to the other guys in the second half. So I think just that team, especially like Castro and Nkrumah, were just fantastic, and they're probably like two of my biggest winners of the day.
Yeah, well, that feels like a good place to wrap this one up. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be recapping every day, sharing our biggest takeaways, insights. We'll have more of the crew doing a bigger picture one with Maxwell that hopefully works. Who knows, though? You know, got to keep you guys on your toes. Make sure to subscribe to NoCeilingsNBA.com. We're going to have recaps and everything over there. We're going to have a ton of stuff, including a bunch of in-person interviews and film sessions.
Lottery mock?
No Ceilings YouTube. We're going to have a lottery mock, lottery reactions. We will be at the lottery, so we're going to plenty of takeaways. It's going to be an awesome week content wise for us, for you guys. So, you know, follow us on socials, subscribe on all of the outlets. He's Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at Team Metcalf 11. Find all our stuff at NoCeilingsNBA.com. No Ceilings on socials, No Ceilings on YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Till next time, see ya.